And my privilege to bring a bit of a talk to us this afternoon. And really, the talk this afternoon revolves around a question. And the question is this: is there anything true about Christmas? That's our question we're going to consider briefly together this afternoon. Is there anything true about Christmas? And I think at first glance, it can seem like the answer to that question is, well, not much at all, actually. Truth can be one of the first and greatest casualties of Christmas, I think. Thousands of tons of advertising stuffed into your letterbox, and as you flick through it, not much truth there. You don't really believe that your life will be better with that Norwegian handcrafted manicure set, do you? Not much truth there. And truth can be a bit of a casualty on Christmas Day, don't you think? Unwrapping that, let's face it, hideous shirt from that well-meaning relative, and you smile and you say, "Thanks, I love it." Not much truth there. And let's face it, truth seems to be a bit stretched in a lot of the stories that surround Christmas. I'm going to tread sensitively here for the sake of the kids, but aeronautically gifted hoofed Arctic mammals traversing the globe at greater than supersonic speeds with a portly bearded driver dressed in scarlet, carrying a sack that Mary Poppins would envy for the amount of stuff it could hold. Well, we wink at that because, well, maybe truth can be sacrificed for the sake of a nice story, don't you think? And of course, if you know anything about the original Christmas events in the Bible, you know there are some pretty outrageous happenings there too. A virgin giving birth to a child, angels appearing to terrified shepherds, declarations that the baby is none other than the Lord God himself. Fantastic descriptions. And I think it's easy to wink at those as well and think, well, truth can be sacrificed for a few nice stories, can't it? And of course, at Christmas time, we see this whole mishmash of fantasy and make-believe. Here's an illustration of that from this amazing lights display out the front of a home in Wodonga. And this is a light display that you can no doubt see from space, okay? This is just one section of it. There's Santa out the front carrying some presents. There's another Santa driving a car with a sort of a strange big brown animal in the passenger seat. There's a giant polar bear wearing a Santa hat. There's a merry-go-round with another Santa-hatted creature on top. There's a Christmas tree and an angel at the front. Then there's this ginormous smiling reindeer, which fortunately, just as the photo was taken, the wind blew it and it tilted over, which allows us to see right up the back in the midst of it all a nativity scene with Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. The whole thing is incredible. But you can see, can't you, that Jesus and the Bible accounts of the first Christmas, they're just sort of all thrown in with all the other fantasy and make-believe stuff. So why should we think that any of it is real? It makes the most perfect sense to ask, is there anything true about Christmas? But as well as it being a sensible question, it's an awkward question, isn't it? Because maybe you're thinking as soon as I ask it, well, don't spoil things. Don't spoil a nice time of the year. Don't spoil a nice celebration, a nice tradition. Don't spoil it all by bringing truth into it. Because truth does that, doesn't it? Truth can spoil things because truth exposes things. As soon as we start talking about truth, we're also talking about untruth, falseness, lies. If something is true, it means something else is false or fake. And that can get awkward, can't it? So maybe you're wondering, why would we even bother asking the question, is there anything true about Christmas? Well, my reason for doing it is because of something Jesus himself said. And since Christmas began with Jesus, it makes pretty good sense, I reckon, to listen to him. Jesus thinks that it is entirely right to link Christmas and truth together. Here's what Jesus said. It was in our reading that Molly just brought to us. "The reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." There you have it. If you want to know what Jesus thinks about Christmas, if you want to know what Jesus thought about his birth, that's how he described it as an adult when he was about 33 years old. Those two sentences actually come from one of the four historical biographies of Jesus we have in the Bible. This particular biography is called John because of the name of the eyewitness who wrote it. And I've brought along copies of John's Gospel out on the table there for you to grab if you want to read it for yourself. But in John chapter 18, Jesus said, "The reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." So what's truth got to do with Christmas? Well, according to Jesus, everything. And since Christmas gets its name from him, he should know. So I reckon it's worthwhile spending a few minutes thinking about what he means. That's what we're going to do. So let's firstly think about truth and Jesus. According to Jesus, the reason he was born was to testify to the truth. And so when we see pictures of the baby in the manger on our Christmas cards, or when we sing words like "Holy infant, so tender and mild," we need to remember that according to Jesus, the reason he was born was to testify to the truth. And immediately that should tell us something about how we should approach the Christmas stories in the Bible. We're dealing with truth, or at least we're dealing with stories that claim to be true. We're talking about history. We are not talking about make-believe. You cannot lump Jesus in with elves and fairies and aeronautically gifted hoofed Arctic mammals. The Bible refuses to let us do that. In fact, this biography of John, at the very end of the biography, in the very final chapter, John writes this: "This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down, and we know that his testimony is true." In other words, it's an historical account of real things really done by real people in real places. It claims to be trustworthy. It expects to be tested and found to be reliable. Now, I'm sort of labouring a point, folks, because it's really important to realise that Christianity, unlike many of the other religions, actually invites people to weigh the evidence, to check the facts, to make an intelligent decision about whether it's true or not. To be a Christian, to be a genuine follower of Jesus, that doesn't mean you switch your brain off and just start believing in unbelievable things. No, that's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is to investigate and to think and to put your trust in things that are trustworthy. It's really important to say that clearly because most people don't appreciate that, I don't think. Frankly, me personally, I have no interest in believing something that is not true. Before being a pastor, I studied science at university. I'm interested in facts. I have no interest in dedicating my life to something that is not true. And Jesus is all about truth. Not opinions, not feelings, not fake news, not make-believe, but truth. The reason he was born was to testify to the truth. Christmas is all about truth. But here's the thing, folks. When Jesus talks about truth, he's not talking about any old truth. He's talking about the truth. He's talking about ultimate truth. He's talking about the most important truth there is. He's talking about the truth of God. The reason Jesus came into the world was to reveal the truth of God, which of course is the most important truth there is. This is the truth about the one who created all things and everyone. This is the truth about the one who rules all things. This is the truth about God in whom all of us live and move and have our being. That's the truth that Jesus reveals. And he does so in the most breathtaking way. He reveals God to us perfectly because he is God. It's not as if Jesus walked around showing pictures of God to people. That's not how he revealed God. It's not even as if all that he did was to talk about God. It's much more than that. Jesus is God with us. He is God in human flesh. He's God now here. In Jesus, God turned up and said, "Here I am. Check me out." And I know that's an incredible truth. That's an extraordinary truth. But it is the truth. Jesus described his relationship to God as being the Son of the Father. He came into the world from the Father's side. He spoke about He being in the Father and the Father being in him, they were one. An incredible truth, an extraordinary truth, but it is the truth. Jesus came to testify to that truth. He came to reveal the truth of God. And folks, that's a truth we need to hear. It's a truth that is vital to hear. In fact, Jesus taught that the truth he revealed could set people free. And as Australians, we love our freedom, don't we? It's wonderful to be free. But I need to tell you that beneath our freedom as Australian citizens, there is a slavery that all of us need to be set free from. It's the slavery of our natural instinct to turn away from God and to go it alone in our life. It's the slavery of our natural bias to want to throw off God's loving rule and to try and rule ourselves. We want to do it our way and not God's way. And that's what Jesus describes as sin. Sin's not naughty things. Sin is rebellion against the loving rule of God. And Jesus teaches that everyone who sins, which is everyone, is a slave to sin. So friends, on our own, we're not free. We suppress the truth about God. We invent fake news about our own goodness and our own ability to succeed. We invent alternative truths about how the world works. We invent alternative truths about what's right and wrong, what's wise and unwise. And all the time we're trying to paint God out of the picture. But the thing is truth. And our alternative truths are lies. They fail to match reality, which is why our lives seem so often out of control and why our world is so messed up and why our relationships are such hard work. It's because of our slavery to sin. I enjoy reading the blog posts of a fellow in Melbourne by the name of Murray Campbell. He observes people and thinking and trends, and he helps to make sense of it. Just this week, his most recent post, he wrote this: during the course of 2019, I've observed a growing sense of hopelessness being felt and expressed by people across the globe, especially among teenagers. Climate change, political agendas, social uncertainties are compounding and amplifying a disillusionment about the future. There is an audible disquiet and growing despair spilling over from social media and into our schools and onto our streets. My children's school was so concerned about this that they wrote a letter to parents urging us to address these matters in a calm and constructive manner. I think that's true, isn't it? This growing sense of hopelessness, which is strange because in a real sense, life for us has never been better. It's never been longer. It's never been safer. It's never been more prosperous. And yet, we seem to be more anxious and more hopeless than ever. That's all part of the consequence of us having thrown off God's loving rule and trying to rule our own lives and our own world our own way. And we've made a mess of it because we're not in control. And even if we were in control, we're not wise enough or good enough to do any sort of a good job at it. But of course, that's just the present consequences of our rebellion. The future consequences are far worse: condemnation and judgment before God himself. Now you might be thinking, whoa, everything's getting heavy. And all this seems a very grim thing to be speaking of at Christmas time, doesn't it? Maybe you're thinking, come on, Paul, can we have a bit of good cheer? Well, today's the day about truth, remember? It may not be pleasant, but we're not here to do make-believe. We're here to do truth. The reason Jesus was born is to testify to the truth. But here is the great thing. Here is something to cheer us. Jesus didn't just come to bring bad news of sin and judgment. He came to bring good news as well. And it's really, really good. You might remember what the angels declared to the shepherds out in the fields nearby to the manger. The angel said this: do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That is great news. Jesus came as a saviour, as a rescuer. Jesus came to testify to the truth that can set us free. In fact, not long before he spoke the words that we're thinking about this afternoon about truth, Jesus said this about himself: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Please notice in that those words of Jesus that Jesus is not our way or our truth or our life. He is the truth and the way and the life. And no one comes to the Father. No one is restored to God except by him. And so if anyone has an alternative hope, if anyone has an alternative truth, if anyone has an alternative way, according to Jesus, they should give it up because it's false. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And the great news is, the really great news is, that you can come to the Father through Jesus, and you can be restored to God, and you can be set free and to be saved, and you can escape judgment. That is exactly why Jesus came. It is precisely why he was born. That's the truth he came to testify to. I need to tell you just one little more thing about those two sentences that Jesus spoke. When Jesus spoke them in John chapter 18, he was speaking to a man named Pilate, who was the Roman governor. And the conversation took place on the very eve of Jesus' execution. In other words, Jesus was speaking about the reason for his birth on the eve of his death, which was very appropriate because Jesus was literally born to die. The only way that we could be set free from our sin, the only way that we could be saved from the consequences of our sin, was for Jesus to die in our place. And in fact, in testifying to the truth of God, Jesus revealed the love of God for lost people. And he did that by willingly accepting the punishment for his people's sin so that they would not have to face it for themselves. Jesus stood between his people and the right anger of God at their sin. In this season of bushfires, let me use an example here that might help us to understand just what Jesus was doing, just what he accomplished in his saving death. The safest place to be in the midst of a bushfire is where the fire has already burned. That's why we backburn, to create a safe place from any future fire. But for the safe place to be created, fire must burn there first. Something must be sacrificed in order to accomplish safety. And when Jesus died on that cross, the right judgment and anger of God burned against our sin. But it will not burn there again. A safe place has been created through the sacrifice of Jesus. A safe place from the future judgment and anger of God. And that safe place is with Jesus. By coming to Jesus here and now, there is forgiveness for sin. By coming to Jesus here and now, there is reconnection to God. By coming to Jesus here and now, there is genuine, joyful, soul-satisfying relationship with God again. That's what he accomplished in his death. He lived up to his name. He saved his people from their sin. It's all captured in that most famous sentence from John's biography of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the truth that Jesus was born to testify to. That is the truth that Jesus died to testify to. That is the truth of Christmas. And so the big question really isn't, is there anything true about Christmas? The big question really is, what's my response to that truth? What's your response to that truth? And we can see that in the second of those statements of Jesus that we began with. And what Jesus said, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Here it is, ready? Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Folks, it's pretty simple. It's very clear. If you are on the side of truth, if truth matters to you, if you are a person who believes that truth is important, you will listen to Jesus. Jesus once described himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, and his sheep are those who listen to his voice and follow him. The only right response to Jesus is to listen to him and to follow him. It's to give him the loyalty of your life. He is the king who deserves your allegiance. He offers you freedom and forgiveness and life. And the only right response is to take him at his word, to receive the gift, and to hand the control of your life over to him. You might be unsure of that. It's a risky thing, isn't it, to give over control? But I want to say that I've been a follower of Jesus since I was 17. And I can testify that when Jesus promises his followers life to the full, he's absolutely telling the truth. Through the ups and through the downs of life, through the hardships and the joy, through the disappointments and the excitements, it's been such a deep comfort to me that through all of those things, ups and downs, I've never been alone. That Jesus is the answer to our hopelessness and our anxiety. Jesus has walked with me as he's led me through. And there is such rich, deep contentment living life as a follower of Jesus. And I want to encourage you to talk to anyone you know who's a follower of Jesus and ask them about it. I began by asking, is there anything true about Christmas? The answer is, you bet. Jesus is the truth. But let me close by asking a slightly different question, a more direct question. When it comes to Christmas, are you on the side of truth or not? There are only two sides. You are either on the side of truth or you're not. And it all depends, it all swings on your response to Jesus. I feel like I've got to quote one of my favourite movies and say, can you handle the truth about Jesus? Are you willing to listen to him, to trust him, to obey him? When Jesus originally spoke these words in John chapter 18, Pilate, the Roman governor who he was speaking to, just dismissed Jesus out of hand and said, what's truth? Can I urge you to be far more careful in your response than Pilate was? There is too much at stake for anything less. At the very least, grab a copy of this biography of Jesus and have a read of it for yourself. Friends, are you on the side of truth? One last time, Jesus said, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. And everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Let me pray.